Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is May 27, 2020. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Trade Lens to digitize India's largest private port operator. Focus on retirement, crypto custodian rolls out hybrid IRA offering. Brazilian retailer eyes services for the unbanked with acquisition of fintech firm Airfox. Google signs on as network validator for blockchain video network Theta. CryptoKitties creator debuts NBA game on its own blockchain. Number of bitcoins on crypto exchanges hits 18-month low. Crypto custodian BitGo joins race to provide prime brokerage services. First mover, EOS has still to prove itself after spiraling down this past year. Slipping yuan may be good for Bitcoin price, past data suggests. Now let's get started. Trade Lens to digitize India's largest private port operator. The largest commercial port operator in India has teamed with blockchain-based logistics platform Trade Lens in an effort to digitize its supply chains. Adani Ports and Special Economic Zone Limited, APSEZ, joined the shipping-focused platform jointly founded by IBM and Maersk in 2018 to shore up its processes after issues became apparent as a result of the coronavirus crisis. During the pandemic, we realized the price of not digitizing the industry, said an unnamed logistics industry official, as reported by The Hindu on Wednesday. There will be a mindset change now and more firms will adopt technology. Trade Lens will integrate cargo handling facilities run by APSEZ around India onto its platform. These include ports in Gujarat, Odisha, Chennai, Andhra Pradesh and Goa, as well as one under construction at Vizhinjam, Kerala. The move aims to reduce the time needed for manually processing administrative tasks through digital procedures supported by blockchain technology. In effect, the initiative seeks to modernize supply chain management systems that have proven costly, laborious and prone to error. It's not the first time a major port operator has adopted the IBM Maersk platform. In August 2019, the Customs Department of Thailand adopted Trade Lens as part of the country's Thailand 4.0 policy. The largest port in Oman, Salalah, became a member of the shipping project as part of its digital transformation efforts in January. Focus on retirement, crypto custodian rolls out hybrid IRA offering. Digital asset custodian Kingdom Trust is offering investors a single retirement account for traditional and digital assets. Called Choice, the South Dakota-based custodian is offering a self-service retirement platform where investors can buy, sell or hold stocks, exchange-traded funds, ETFs, and digital assets in one tax-advantaged account, said Kingdom Trust CEO Ryan Radloff. Currently, fewer than 1% of the 100,000 retirement accounts for which Kingdom Trust provides custody have any digital assets as part of their portfolios. Basically, it's a self-directed IRA with a web interface and mobile app to go back and forth between legacy and digital assets, Radloff said. Kingdom Trust built connections to crypto exchange Kraken to access digital assets and legacy brokers for traditional assets. As someone calling out my fellow BITCOINERS, we need to be focused on the U.S. retirement market. The launch comes after Kingdom Trust acquired Choice Holdings, a digital asset retirement company built by Radloff in the first quarter of 2020. In that same quarter, Choice trialed a version of direct crypto trading on the platform and saw an average of $13,000 per trade. Radloff was previously the CEO of crypto asset manager CoinShares. Most people have more investable discretionary dollars in retirement accounts than they do in brokerage accounts, Radloff said. Account balances are materially larger than at Kraken or a Coinbase, and the average purchase size is much larger than what you would see on an exchange. With accounts being denominated in post-tax savings, clients can make larger trades without the tax burden, Radloff said. As a promotion, the company is offering the first 1,000 Choice members $62.50 of Bitcoin upon opening an account. As someone calling out my fellow Bitcoiners, we need to be focused on the U.S. retirement market, Radloff said. It's important that we don't just think about brokerage, but also savings and other parts of our financial lives. Brazilian retailer eyes services for the unbanked with acquisition of fintech firm Airfox. Brazilian retail firm Via Varejo has scooped up Boston-based fintech startup Airfox for an undisclosed sum. The acquisition comes as part of plans by Via Varejo to provide financial services to millions of Brazilians who lack the means to obtain traditional bank accounts, according to a statement released Friday. The two firms already have a relationship. In June 2019, they launched Banqi, a mobile digital banking app in partnership with MasterCard. The app enables customers to use money in their Banqi accounts to pay for goods and services in their communities, as well as online and anywhere globally where MasterCard is accepted. Victor Santos, CEO and co-founder at Airfox, told CoinDesk that Airfox's intention is to provide free bank accounts with superior services. As more people bank with the firm, the more affordable credit and adjacent financial services become, he said. We can use data from Banqi users, smartphone and behavior within our app to assess credit and give credit digitally. This is something traditional banks struggle with, according to Santos. Airfox, which employs around 35 staff, will retain its Boston headquarters and will serve as a fintech innovation hub. Airfox suffered a setback in 2018 after it was ordered to comply and register its initial coin offering (ICO) with the Securities and Exchange Commission (SEC). In order to settle charges that the regulator previously contended were a breach of securities rules, Airfox agreed to refund investors, file periodic reports to the SEC and pay $250,000 after it was revealed it had raised $15 million through its ICO sale. Looking to a brighter future, Santos explained the acquisition by Via Varejo would bring benefits to the Boston-based fintech. According to a recent study by Brazilian research firm, Locomotiva Institute, around 45 million Brazilians do not have a bank account or are considered unbanked in a population totaling 209 million people. We can have structural advantages of using Via Varejo resources, retail locations, customers, credit and financial service portfolio to accelerate our product and strategy, he said. Airfox is unique with this partnership because we are the only digital bank in the country with access to 1,000-plus retail stores from Via Varejo that almost function as a branch for our users to go in, Santos said. Google signs on as network validator for blockchain video network Theta. Google is teaming up with Theta Labs in a move meant to help the video delivery network onboard users through Google Cloud. As part of the partnership, the tech giant is assisting Theta with its Mainnet 2.0 launch, a hard fork happening around noon Pacific time on Wednesday, said Theta Labs CEO Mitch Liu. Theta is unique in that their video delivery network needs both a reliable, high-performance network which we provide via our premium network tier as well as reputable node operators to ensure protocol security, said Google Cloud developer advocate Alan Day. Google will become the protocol's fifth external validator node. Theta Labs is staking 5 million Theta tokens, worth about $2.4 million at a press time price of 48 cents each, for Google on the network. Theta rewards network participants for relaying video content to other users using their spare bandwidth and computing resources. The end result should be a massive decentralized mesh network of relayers, Liu said. Google joins the likes of Binance, Blockchain Ventures and Gumi Cryptos as external enterprise validators that propose and validate new blocks on the Theta blockchain. Eventually, Theta aims to have 31 external enterprise validators. Google Cloud is also becoming Theta's preferred cloud provider with today's announcement. I can't speculate on what will happen in the future, but we're looking forward to working with users who want to join the Theta network, Day said. Users can launch a Theta Guardian node from the GCP marketplace. With a few clicks, they can deploy a Guardian and be peering with the Theta network. Google will be Theta's first European enterprise validator since the tech giant will be hosting the node at its office in Ireland, further geographically decentralizing the network. In February, Hedera Hashgraph announced that Google Cloud would run a node on the blockchain-like network and make Hashgraph analytics available for users. The hard fork will inflate Theta Fuel, TFUEL, a second token that powers on-chain operations by 5%, creating a bigger reward for stakers. In addition, hundreds of Guardian nodes available to the public will act as an extra layer of consensus with the mainnet 2.0 launch by finalizing blocks and checking for bad actor validator nodes. Liu said he could see Google help Theta scale the number Guardian nodes on the network to the thousands or tens of thousands. Theta also plans to further collaborate with Google's artificial intelligence, machine learning and big data initiatives. Google also owns YouTube, a key target for Theta's partnership aspirations. YouTube is particularly interesting because they utilize mostly internally developed technology for video delivery and streaming, which makes experimentation a lot easier without having to rely on external platforms like Akamai or Oz, Liu said. CryptoKitties creator debuts NBA game on its own blockchain. Blockchain meets basketball in the newest game from the developers of CryptoKitties. Dapper Labs NBA Top Shot has launched into private beta following the game's initial product announcement in July 2019. The game is looking to fill a product niche by combining manager-style sports games with digitally scarce goods called non-fungible tokens, NFTs. Fans can own a piece of the action and they can participate in this economy of basketball, which has never really happened before, Dapper Labs VP of Partnerships Katie Tedman said in a phone interview. NBA Top Shot is also the first Dapper Labs game built on top of the team's new custom blockchain, Flow. Tedman said the new chain gives the game higher throughput and consistency, a valuable product given Dapper Labs' product history. In 2017, CryptoKitties infamously clogged the Ethereum blockchain by executing more transactions than the chain could handle at that time. The team announced a new blockchain with faster transaction speeds in March. We want to make sure, first of all, that the environment is totally stable since we've had the experience of CryptoKitties crashing not by our volition, said Tedman. Tedman said Top Shot is looking to tip off in the coming months and at least by the beginning of the NBA's next season in October, which may itself be postponed. Gameplay. In essence, Top Shot combines digital trading card games with apps like Tap Baseball. The main premise of the mobile game is a manager-style game where you're kind of creating the strongest team you can, Tedman said. Users can build rosters. Tedman herself prefers a lineup of European hoopers known for smooth passing and shooting based on interests or viral moments like a slam dunk. Dapper's NFTs also capture moments such as a LeBron James poster dunk or a Steph Curry step back three-pointer from real in-game events. These moments are then wrapped using the ERC-721 token standard, creating a digital basketball card only you can own. NFTs can then be traded on Dapper's secondary market and are available for purchase in crypto or with credit cards, Tedman said. To begin with, the mobile game is free while NFTs are an add-on, a similar method debuted by crypto game MLB Champions this spring. Not only that, but Dapper reached an agreement with the NBA and the National Basketball Players Association, NBPA, to use the likenesses of basketball's greatest stars from the league's 50-plus year history, think Magic Johnson on the blockchain. We're lucky that we tied the product to a moment in time rather than the live game because we can continue going backward, in time, Tedman said. Number of bitcoins on crypto exchanges hits 18-month low. The total number of bitcoins held in cryptocurrency exchanges wallets dropped to an 18-month low to just above 2.3 million on Monday, according to data estimates from Glassnode. The decline marks an 11% year-to-date reduction in the number of bitcoins held by exchanges. Meanwhile, over the same period, the amount of Ether in exchange wallets increased by more than 7%. Some market participants see this as a sign that more Bitcoin investors are increasingly taking direct possession of their cryptocurrency. People are accumulating aggressively, and the market participants seem to have a higher time preference these days, said Avi Fellman, head of trading at Stamford, Connecticut-based Blocktower Capital. I think the trend is going to continue. A portion of these active and often ideologically motivated Bitcoin accumulators are called holders of last resort, a label implying they never intend to sell regardless of market movements. This type of investor partially contributes to the decline in exchange Bitcoin balances by continuing to accumulate for the long term and self-custody their Bitcoins, said Pierre Rockard, Bitcoin strategist at Kraken, the largest US-based cryptocurrency exchange by liquidity according to CryptoWatch. Speaking with CoinDesk, Rockard added that improvements in fiat rails also materially contribute to this trend by enabling arbitrage traders to be more capital efficient and thus hold fewer Bitcoin. It's important to note that on-chain data analysis of exchange balances is only an estimate given that some exchange addresses may be overlooked by or unknown to data aggregators. The downward sloped trend, however, is nonetheless pronounced. On-chain data is not perfect and new exchange wallets may be missed, added Rockard. Others see Bitcoins leaving exchanges for a reason completely unrelated to strong-willed, die-hard investors, however, the rise of prime brokers. Fellman added that currently there are few alternatives to holding Bitcoins on an exchange if you want to trade, but new offerings in the prime brokerage space will lead to greater outflows from exchange-specific wallets. On Thursday, for example, trading and lending firm Genesis, like CoinDesk, owned by DCG, acquired Vo1T as part of its strategy to become a full-service prime brokerage. Tagomi, a digital asset prime brokerage, was also recently acquired by Coinbase in the San Francisco-based exchange's bid to expand its institutional trading service. Regardless of the reason, a consistent decline in the supply of Bitcoin on exchanges implies a strong level of confidence from the holder base, said Jan Liberman, former associate at Deutsche Bank and co-founder of digital asset research firm Delphi Digital. Roughly 60% of the issued Bitcoin supply hasn't moved in over 12 months, added Liberman, and that has been a precursor to previous bullish market cycles. Crypto custodian BitGo joins race to provide prime brokerage services. Crypto custodian BitGo is moving into the prime brokerage space, announcing a fully integrated suite of services Wednesday to serve institutional traders. The services will be offered by BitGo Prime, a new entity that will be headed by Nick Carmi, BitGo's head of financial services. Carmi joined the firm last year after stints at various banks and other financial institutions. BitGo Prime has already launched crypto lending services, and plans to expand these as well as build liquidity on its platform this year. BitGo CEO Mike Belshi told CoinDesk said building a prime brokerage in the crypto space is a difficult undertaking, at least in part because the overall infrastructure is still relatively young. In his view, a true prime brokerage begins with regulated custody, followed by lending and borrowing services. He said the company's recent acquisition of tax management provider Lumina might have been the biggest part of its prime brokerage announcement. They had already had some elements of trade, but it fits in well with the portfolio views that we're doing, he said. We're trying to shift the overall product focus from like here's our wallets to more about like what's your overall portfolio? BitGo Prime offers trading on a fully non-disclosed basis, he said, meaning that while BitGo knows who its clients are through its Know Your Customer, anti-money laundering measures, the outside world is not privy to which companies are conducting a given trade. Carmi said the services are targeted to institutional investors already familiar with the Prime brokerage model. You can trade right now out of your cold storage, Carmi said. Operational security is there, operation controls are there, it's an insured wallet, right, to be protected and nobody knows whether it's you buying or you selling because all they see in the market is BitGo buying. Bridging Finance. The company has been building out the brokerage for a few years, Carmi told CoinDesk. The current phase of BitGo Prime's rollout enables trading, and the new entity is looking to aggregate pricing from multiple reputable counterparties, market makers and exchanges. While Carmi said these market makers are big names, he said he wasn't currently able to name them publicly. Belshi said the company's next task would be attracting more financially conservative clients. This should happen as the company builds out its infrastructure and regulations around the space improve. I think traditionally we've had the problem of you've got this separation of crypto on this side and you know traditional assets on this side and never two shall meet, he said. I think we are starting to see some good signs that there's going to be crossover. Interest from the traditional asset side has been picking up, Belshi said. Investor Paul Tudor Jones' recent announcement that he was hedging using Bitcoin was huge for the industry. I guarantee you that every hedge fund manager, if they weren't already allocated some way in crypto, they're looking at it now, he said. JP Morgan banking exchanges Gemini and Coinbase are another positive sign for the industry, and BitGo itself has heard from investment banks recently, he said. Belshi said he could not name the banks. BitGo Isn't the only company sensing this interest. Genesis Trading, a subsidiary of CoinDesk parent company DCG, BitQuant and Coinbase all recently announced their own intentions to offer prime brokerage services. In the cases of Genesis and Coinbase, the moves come after the acquisitions of crypto custodian Vo1t and Tagomi, respectively. And while Belshi cautioned that it's going to take a long time to bring conservative clients into the space, current events are raising interest in Bitcoin as a hedge, he said, referencing the economic fallout from the COVID-19 pandemic. We're in a place of massive uncertainty, he said. 35 million, maybe 40 million unemployed here in the US, we don't know how long this is going to go on and we've been printing at the federal level across the globe at these levels, we've just literally never ever seen before. First mover, EOS has still to prove itself after spiraling down this past year. EOS, a smart contracts platform, has had its fair share of bother. The blockchain's launch in 2018 was bumpy. Some users had their accounts frozen, twice. Many more were irritated when they discovered there was an all-powerful arbitrator whose role was unclear. Then, last year, Brock Pierce, one of the project's early backers, said in a public forum the blockchain ecosystem was a little bit of a Chinese oligarchy, implying a troubling lack of decentralization on the network. You're reading First Mover, CoinDesk's daily markets newsletter. Assembled by the CoinDesk markets team, First Mover starts your day with the most up-to-date sentiment around crypto markets, which of course never close, putting in context every wild swing in Bitcoin and more. We follow the money so you don't have to. You can subscribe here. Over the past year, the EOS token's price is down 69%, the worst performance among digital assets with a market capitalization of at least $1 billion, based on Messari data. That's more than twice the decline over that period in prices for EOS' biggest rival, Ether. Bitcoin is flat over the past 12 months. So is the worst now behind EOS? After all, it was once billed as the Ethereum killer. For starters, the concern that EOS is too centralized in the hands of Chinese operators might have lessened. Bobby Ong, CEO of price aggregator site CoinGecko, said the number of block producers controlled by Chinese entities has declined. In October 2019, around 80% of block producers were Chinese. Now, that number is closer to 60%. Earlier this month, Block.one, the software publisher behind EOS, released a voting criteria requiring block producers to disclose their locations. Officials with the project told CoinDesk the location requirement could help increase inclusivity and diversity among block producer nodes. Block.one also removed another overhang last September when it agreed to pay $24 million to settle charges brought by the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission that it raised the equivalent of several billion dollars in an unregistered initial coin offering through 2017 and 2018. The settlement may have freed Block.one to use its sizable war chest for network development. In December, the company announced it would hand out $50,000 grants to any promising projects looking to build on EOS. But several unresolved concerns remain. One of the chief selling points of EOS is that it's scalable, and that it offers zero-fee transactions. But in this case, the zero-fee strategy isn't necessarily all positive. A study from Imperial College London published earlier this month found that free transactions led to spammy behaviors. Late last year, one project, Eidos, airdropped so many tokens that it clogged the EOS network. Volume increased tenfold and at one point comprised 95% of total network activity. This caused the network to clog up and enter congestion mode, obliging users to stake a small amount of EOS to keep the network operating. According to the Imperial College London researchers, free transactions ended up discouraging legitimate users from using the protocol, rather than encouraging network activity. Another concern, as a platform for decentralized applications, EOS might be overly focused on gambling. Rankings from dapp.com show that 13 of the top 20 applications are gambling-related. And it's a key concept in crypto networks that less diversification increases vulnerability. If blockchain gambling were suddenly to end, activity on EOS could nosedive, causing significant, possibly even fatal, disruption. This makes the investment case for EOS harder. Mahdi Greenspan, founder of Quantum Economics, said there was nothing in my radar that differentiates it from two dozen other top cap cryptos. Bitcoin and Ethereum have proven themselves, Greenspan said, while EOS languishes as one of those coins that has yet to find broader real-world adoption. Of course, that could all change. Greenspan said one bullish signal for EOS is that it has a large community, which really goes a long way. But the market for smart contracts platforms is highly competitive. As well as Ethereum, EOS counts both Tron, Tezos and, more recently, Binance as direct competitors. With a market capitalization of more than $900 million, even following the past year's price declines, EOS looks like a show-me story. The project may still have to prove why it should be worth that amount. Trend: Bitcoin popped back above $9,000 on Wednesday, having been forced to defend sub $8,700 levels twice in the last 2 days. The top cryptocurrency by market value is currently trading over $9,100, representing a near 3% gain on the day. On a few exchanges, including Switzerland-based Bitstamp, prices have hit highs near $9,200. The 4-hour chart is now reporting a falling wedge breakout, a bullish reversal pattern. It indicates the recent sell-off has ended and the buyers have regained control. On the way higher, the cryptocurrency could face resistance at $9,310, which is a bearish lower high created on May 24. A violation there would expose $10,000. The overall bullish trend would be restored if prices establish a strong foothold in the five figures. Alternatively, if prices fail to keep gains above $9,000, we may see a fall back to the current weekly low of $8,630. That said, the macro factors look bullish with China's yuan falling to 8-month lows early Wednesday. Historical data shows that cryptocurrency tends to rally during bouts of CNY weakness. Slipping yuan may be good for Bitcoin price, past data suggests. Bitcoin traders should keep an eye on the ongoing slide in the yuan, analysts say. That's because, historically, the cryptocurrency looks to have put in a positive performance during bouts of weakness in the Chinese currency. The yuan, CNY, fell to 7.1613 per US dollar earlier on Tuesday to hit the lowest level since early September and taking its cumulative month-to-date and year-to-date losses to 1.4% and 2.85%, respectively. The decline to 8-month lows could be associated with concerns about the U.S. response to China's proposed security law for Hong Kong and the resulting haven demand for the greenback. U.S. Senator Marco Rubio, R. Florida, put out a tweet late Tuesday stating the U.S. would impose sanctions on China if the nation presses forward with implementing the controversial Hong Kong bill. If China's CNY continues to weaken against USD, then we could have a 2015 and 2016 repeat, where BTC strength coincided with yuan weakness, tweeted Chris Bernaski, partner at venture capital firm Placeholder. The above chart shows Bitcoin and USD, CNY moving in tandem in 2015 and 2016. In August 2015, the People's Bank of China, China's central bank, surprised markets by devaluing CNY by 3.5%. The Chinese currency ended 2015 with an over 5.5% loss against the dollar, while Bitcoin gained 34%. Another wave of yuan devaluation rocked financial markets in early 2016 and the currency ended that year with a 7% loss. Again, Bitcoin rallied by nearly 125%. So there appears to have been a correlation between the two assets in 2015 and 2016. However, correlation does not necessarily imply causation, meaning there may or may not be a cause and effect relationship between the two. Some analysts have long argued that CNY depreciation leads to increased flow of money into Bitcoin from China. For instance, CNY fell below 7 per dollar for the first time in 10 years on August 5, 2019, amid the U.S.-China trade war. On that day, Bitcoin rallied by 7% and the uptick began an hour before the yuan dropped below the key level. As a result, some observers, including prominent analyst Alex Kruger, wondered whether Bitcoin had front-run the slide. Last year we witnessed flows from CNY to BTC during the trade tariff saga. Matthew Dibb, co-founder of Stack, a provider of cryptocurrency trackers and index funds, told CoinDesk Wednesday. Skeptics, however, would counter that claim by saying the uptick seen on August 5 was short-lived and the cryptocurrency suffered sharp losses in the following 4 months despite the yuan's continued decline to new multi-year lows near 7.20 per dollar. Essentially, the positive correlation between USD, CNY and Bitcoin did not hold ground in the second half of the last year. Furthermore, both Bitcoin and the yuan suffered losses in 2018. It could be argued the yuan slide seen in 2015 and 2016 merely coincided with the uptick in Bitcoin, which was fueled by the bullish frenzy surrounding the cryptocurrency's second mining reward halving, which took place in July 2016. Nevertheless, it may be worth keeping a close eye on the ongoing CNY slide as the narrative that yuan depreciation leads to increased outflows from China is still quite strong. Further, in the crypto markets, bullish narratives have a tendency to become self-fulfilling prophecies, as evidenced by Bitcoin's pre-halving rally. Bitcoin, a macro asset. In addition, Bitcoin may be more sensitive to developments in the yuan market this time round, with the cryptocurrency now a macro asset class this year following an increase in institutional participation. It's no longer possible to analyze the crypto market without analyzing the rest of the macro markets, Messari analysts said in their Tuesday's newsletter. The 2020 recession officially marks the beginning of Bitcoin as a macro asset class. For retail investors and institutional investors, crypto isn't the only asset class in their portfolio. Therefore, it's crucial to look at crypto from a portfolio allocation perspective. Indeed, legendary fund managers like Paul Tudor Jones too have recently thrown their weight behind Bitcoin, seeing it as a hedge against inflation. Bitcoin reminds me of gold when I first got into the business in 1976, Jones said. Gold, a precious metal with limited supply, tends to gain value during bouts of fiat currency devaluation. Bullish macros? Some analysts expect CNY to slide further on escalating U.S.-China tensions and power gains in the cryptocurrency. As the USA and other countries retaliate against China's proposed security law, our expectation is to see a continued depreciation of the yuan, while BTC could benefit once again as a local and liquid safe haven asset alternative, said Dibb. Meanwhile, Philip Gillespie, CEO of B2C2 Japan, told CoinDesk he is personally bullish on Bitcoin due to the combination of excess money printing by central banks and pickup in geopolitical risks. I expect serious anti-Chinese rhetoric in the coming days, weeks, months as U.S. President Donald Trump tries to use nationalism, protectionism and anger towards China as a major catalyst for support, said Gillespie, while adding that we would soon find out whether there's a positive correlation between USD, CNY and Bitcoin returns. While the expectations may be bullish, so far, the cryptocurrency has not been able to gather upside momentum. At press time, the cryptocurrency is trading near $8,930, representing a 0.29% drop on the day. The short-term technical outlook has turned bearish following Sunday's break below an ascending trendline connecting the March 13 and April 21 lows. While Clem Chambers, founder and CEO of financial markets website advfn.com, believes the premise for Bitcoin strength amid the yuan's weakness may be valid, he's concerned liquidity coming into Bitcoin will remain low in China for some time due to coronavirus outbreak. I think BTC might have its new short-term range in place, but we will have to wait a few weeks till the second virus wave if there is one, and that seems likely, to gauge what happens next, said Chambers. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.